Hey! Oh my god, you're back! This is fantastic. I'm Claire Bottomley and I'm your host, and this certainly is the Recruiting Superhero. Yep, you're excited, I'm excited. And if you can't wait anymore, go ahead, listen, and let me know what you think. On today's episode, I talk to Andre Voinescu. Andre works for BDO as a consultant. We talk everything RPA and bots. I had an awesome chat with Andre. Learn how RPA can help your business gain more time and even more data, and learn how you can enhance your employees' skills and happiness. Andre also gives you some tips on how to build your own bot, so definitely look out for that. Andre is passionate, informative, and fun. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. Also, if you really like the show, don't forget to follow and share. Your support really helps.
Good morning, Claire. I'm happy to be here. So thanks for inviting.
Oh, lovely. I'm really pleased that you're here. I've been really looking forward to speaking to you this whole weekend from our first initial conversation. You got me really, really excited about robotics and just tech, really. I was just pumped from our conversation, to be honest. And so I was really excited about our chat and opening up that discussion a little bit more about what you do and basically, you know, how we can discuss it a little bit more so our audience can understand it more as well, and maybe some companies that are listening. But before we get onto all of the tech stuff, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Because you're in your, is it your New Jersey? Is that right?
I'm actually in old Jersey, so the original Jersey, which is actually just off the coast of France, but it's part of the UK. So I had an amazing 7 days holiday. It's been absolutely sunny here. It's been absolutely amazing. I have a 3-year-old, so I took him at a few walks in the woods. I visited a few castles. We went around the lake. It was absolutely amazing. So I'm fully relaxed now and ready to,
you
know, to get going again.
Ready and relaxed to talk tech, which is brilliant.
Absolutely.
I love it. So just for the benefit of the listeners, so that everyone's got an idea of who you are, okay, and what you kind of represent and what we're going to be talking about today and what you might learn, you know, who are you and sort of what do you do?
So about me, first of all, digital and robotics is one of my favorite topics. So it's generally my favorite topics, and I love to talk about it, and I'm very, very passionate about it. So about me, I work in management consulting. I am an advisory manager. For the last 10 years, I've worked in various companies with international accounting organizations. Currently, I work with BDO because they have amazing digital ambitions here in Jersey, which I absolutely love, and historically with Big Four organizations. I specialize in a mix of traditional consulting and digital consulting. So traditional consulting will be things like your strategy, target operating model, mergers and acquisitions, and things like that. And in terms of digital consulting, my main one is robotic process automation, which is growing and growing and growing, and cybersecurity and a few other bits and bobs. Mm. That's the brunt of it.
So how you're explaining your experience, I feel with me being in recruitment and the way the industry goes, you are right there at the forefront, cybersecurity, robotics, automation. You're right there. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that's why I've made my career choice in the last 5 years to actually go more and more digital. And of course, when you go digital right now, it's all about robotics. It's all about cybersecurity. You have a little bit of data analytics. You have a little bit of AI. But I think the main one that sells today is absolutely robotics and cybersecurity.
Oh, I love
it. So that's why I'm here.
I love it. So look, let's get into some questioning. I am ready to get to the nitty gritty. Really, I appreciate you sort of introducing yourself there. It's brilliant. It gives people an idea of who you are. But yeah, let's get into the nitty gritty. So in terms of RPA, let's go with the real basic of it. What does it stand for and what is it? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So RPA, right? It's an acronym. It stands for Robotic Process Automation. But that's just a fancy term, right? It doesn't mean anything. It's not like, oh, I'm going to buy some RPA and some grapes and I'm going to know what to do, right? You don't know what they do with that. Mm. But what it really means is you buy a piece of software, in this case, a robot or a bot, and that little bot is like a personal assistant. You tell the bot what to do, and the bot does it very, very diligently for you, right? It's not extremely smart at the moment. You cannot do very, very fancy things. But if you have something that's repetitive, that you always need to do, you know, every week, every month, or from time to time, but that either doesn't give you happiness to do in your normal day-to-day life, you can just chuck it to the bot and the bot will do it for you. So that's the good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about this. I've heard, RPA and things like that, but I've never really sort of delved too much into it. But actually, the more you talk about it, the more I sort of go, actually, that can be really sort of interesting. And like I mentioned before, that, you know, the two areas, which I guess cybersecurity and robotics, automation, etc., you know, how do these areas sort of complement each other? How do they work well to each other?
Well, the robot, right, in its simplest form, it's like a human. So when a robot is running on your machine, you can actually see the mouse moving around and the bot logging to system, putting in passwords, usernames, copying and pasting information. So in a way, the same risks that apply, the same security risks which apply to a human applies to the bot, right? You don't want the bot to have passwords written in Notepad, which can be easily accessible. You don't want the bot sending information via email to somebody that you don't trust and things like that. So the same security hygiene standards apply to the bot as well, which is quite interesting when you think about it. A lot of the time when I'm approaching a more complex robotic architecture, I'm approaching it as I'm protecting an actual human.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's the thing that makes sense. So is the environment secure? Do you have everything is patched up? Do you have your firewalls and things like that up to date? And then yes, make sure the bot doesn't hold any information. It just, you know, just processes and sends information. Make sure the bot cannot be changed and you know, things like that.
So is this? I'm jumping in there, but I mean, is obviously you work for a company, it's quite corporate, you know, is this something that individuals might adopt or use within their everyday lives, or is it just a sort of commercial add-on?
I think both, really. So I think the real dream of RPA, and this is getting closer and closer, is that everybody can use it, and that's usually referred to as hyper-automation in the industry. And it basically means that, you know, everybody can just go on a website, download the bot for free, and make that bot do things for it, you know, on a non-commercial basis.
God, it sounds so exciting. I love
it. It is. And you know what? People ask me, okay, Andre, you know, I love what you're doing. It's so exciting. How can I get into it? You know, how can I get hooked up on this RPA drug? And I always told them, you know, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it is.
Be careful there when you're out on the street, they're talking about, you know, the RPA drug. People will think that you are talking about something, but it's something completely different.
Well, my drugs actually work. You know, they help companies, they make people happier, and I'm going to talk about the type of bots that you may want to purchase or build yourself. But the whole idea is when I talk about these things, people ask me how can I get started, right? And I usually tell them, you know what, there are a few products out there that all of them have, you know, plus and minuses, that there's no absolute clear winner, and you cannot say that, you know, that product is the best and the other ones are lagging behind. They both have plus and minuses, but there's one that I think stands out for people that are just trying to get in. And for example, if you look at UiPath's product, what it stands out is that you can go on the website, download, I think they offer like 3 bots for free, and they give all the trainings for free online. So who's the
major players with this at the moment, you know, in terms of, you know, RPA, you know, who are the major sort of companies?
There are a lot, really.
Okay.
The big ones, which are usually recognized by Forrester and Gartner's, are UiPath.
Blue Prism. Yeah. Okay. That's what you just mentioned, wasn't it?
Yes. That's the one. Blue Prism and Automation Anywhere. Uh-huh. So you have those big three, and then you have a lot next to them, which are more niche, one that, you know, for example, like Crayon, which is very, very focused on process discovery. You have a very funny one from the Nordics, and I do a lot of work in the Nordics called Kapow and Nordic RPA. And, you know, Kapow is not a funny name, it's actually their name, which are very small but very nimble, and they have a very, very smart way to do accomplish tasks. So they're quite a lot. But what's very, very interesting is that RPA for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years was viewed as a market for new startups, where you can, you know, just start up a new company and you go there and you try to sell your bots. Last year, Microsoft entered the fray with the robotic solution, and recently IBM entered the same space, which from my point of view, it's a very big tick for the market. It's a very big market validation.
So it's that, you know, the RPA market at the moment is actually quite fast growing.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So what are the kind of adoption levels then in the market, in the current sort of market? Who's buying this sort of stuff?
It's very, very hard to say. So all of the big companies right now, like UiPath, Blue Prism, and so on, they're not public. So they don't publish sell figures. However, anecdotally, UiPath is valued at $10 billion.
Wow.
And, you know, one of their bots, you know, the cheapest bot that you can buy without any agreement is, I think, $900. So let's just say 1,000. So if you divide 10 billion by 1,000, that kind of means that company has the potential to sell 10 million bots, which is, you know, quite huge.
Yeah.
Last year in 2019, we helped the company grow from 0 bots to 630 bots. So that was, you know, quite a big uptick and quite fast, because they needed so much. I know. Yeah, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say, actually, because when you say something like, when you say, you know, we helped a company grow from this many bots to, say, 600 bots, I mean, I'm probably going to be corrected here for myself and try and think more. But is that a driver now for companies to have more bots? You know, what sort of average bots does a company have? Or, you know, how would a company look at themselves and go, right, I'm doing all right on the bot chart? You know, how many would they have, I guess, in general? Is it an aim for companies to have more?
I think companies generally want to be more productive, and actually it's driven by the business need, right? It's never the case of, you know, I think you need a bot and the bot will solve all your issues. Absolutely not. It's okay, what are you trying to achieve? And some companies will say, you know what, I'm really struggling with, you know, month-end reconciliations, or, you know, I'm hiring a lot of people all the time globally, and I need to hire so many people just to fill in employment contracts and put calendar reminders for, you know, when probation expires, and to put everybody on CPD courses and stuff like that. And when you hear things like that, I usually ask, okay, is there a software that you can buy, you know, an off-the-shelf software? And they will say, yeah, is that software and that software, but it costs, I don't know, and a crazy amount usually comes out, you know, 100K, and then I have to pay licenses all the time.
Yeah, the licenses on top and things like that, yeah.
Which is just crazy. So I say, you know what, I reckon I could build a bot for that. You know, we can build a bot for, you know, 10, 20, 30K that can do that and just pay once. And then you have to pay a license, which is usually low cost, like 1,000 per year or 2,000. And they can do the same things. Maybe they do 80% of those things, but they can do it.
It's crazy, because I just don't think enough people kind of thought about this that I've spoken to. I know that this is a market, and certainly it's there and it's moving quite quickly and it's being adopted quickly. But it's just never something that I've thought about. But it's something I'm definitely going to look into in more depth in terms of the tech side as well, and try and understand how companies are running, I guess, in terms of what sort of bots they have and how they automate their processes and things like that. Because that's ultimately what this is, isn't it?
It's absolutely
automating processes. So I guess the kind of next question I would have for you is, I understand why it's attracting people in a way. I can see that. And I can understand why companies would adopt. And you gave a great example, you know, saying, well, you know, if people are learning, you know, what about this option? We can do this a bit more bespoke. The other option is sort of, I guess, why would they buy it? What, you know, I know that you're saying it's just automation, that's it, they're going, but why would they? What's attracting people?
What's the real driver?
Yeah.
There are a few drivers. I think the one that, that people talk about the most, and they shouldn't really, and I'll tell you why, it's about the return investment, the financial benefit, you know, the money bought, as I usually refer to it, which means, you know what, we have 10 people doing, you know, whatever process each week. If we deploy a bot, then they'll have less things to do. So I don't know if that gives you back a few hours per week. If you multiply that for 10 people, that means you have a day per week. So it's expanding your capacity, which means you can do more with the same amount of people. So you can take on new clients, you can deliver service faster, you can redeploy the same people from back-end stuff to more customer-facing roles, so, which is absolutely great.
Sorry, just jumping on that, because I'm just thinking about it from the other side now, is that with the introduction of robotic process automation, you know, anything automation, you get the worry, you've got one side of the sort of consumer, which is worried about losing their jobs and things just changing. And I remember you saying to me that this isn't the case. And in fact, it should be looked at a completely different way. And I'm interested in hearing about that. So what would you say to people, for instance, that are nervous about the introduction of RPA, you know, such as jobs disappearing or robots taking over? How would you sort of alleviate, I guess, those fears? What benefit, what real benefit is it to a company, and what real benefit is it to an employee?
That's very, very good. So from my point of view, realistically, if you want to achieve long-term success, sustainable success, you have to have the buy-in of your employees, right? You can't just push this down. Yeah, you cannot say one morning, you know what, we took the decision, we're going to buy 10,000 bots and we're going to replace 5,000 people. Mm. If you do that, that's a recipe for disaster, and I guarantee you not one bot will actually work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I mean, I've heard of certain organizations that are trying to approach this in this way, and they almost inevitably fail. And that gives bots a very, very bad name. What I've actually seen working is when you do it the other way around, where we go around, let's say, a specific department, which you think is struggling, not because of the persons there, but because of the workload, because of changing regulations, because there are more things that they need to do. And you go to the department and you ask them, you know what, what are the things that you're struggling with? And every department will say, you know what, I'm struggling with A, B, and C, or since Joe left, I can't do whatever things. Or, you know, this new process was just handed over to us, or this new responsibility just came from the regulator and I need to do it, and now I'm struggling with because I don't have a hiring budget. So you go to the pain points and you say, you know what, I can help you with that. I can, you know, build a bot for you to actually help you to achieve, you know, your deadlines. So that's one. The other one is when you're trying to serve customers better. We had a company recently which basically received customers' inquiries via email. Then you had the person, you know, the next day usually, but sometimes in 2 or 3 days, picked up that email, went for a database, found some information, and email information back to the client. Now we have a bot doing that, and it's doing it in a few minutes. So it's set to run every 5 minutes. So if you email that the company, you'll get a email back from, not from Sarah, the usual person which replies, but from Sarah bot. And she replies with, look, this is the information. If it's wrong, please contact my human. No way. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, so give me an example maybe of, again, I think when I'm thinking about it straight away, I think, oh, the big tasks, these things that, you know, need to get sort of, you know, shifted, I guess. But it could lend itself to very simple tasks. Absolutely. So for example, give the listeners some examples of how this could be added into your business and alleviate some of the employee tasks.
I mean, this is just what happened very, very recently. And I love this example because it turned a very unhappy employee to a very happy employee.
Okay, well, that's always good to hear.
So a company, a relatively small company, right? I mean, I think it had less than 50 people, and they need to do timesheets. So each individual did timesheets, which means, so they did timesheets, but they should have ideally do that timesheet in a software.
Okay.
But that software, you know, cost a lot of money for licensing, so they just bought one license. So what happened is that everybody filled in their timesheets on a Friday, And then on a Monday morning, a very, very unhappy employee would have the, you know, horrendous task of going to 50 time sheets and copying, pasting the information from those Excel sheets, because everybody was doing it in an Excel sheet, towards that system, which they had one license for.
Wow.
And you can imagine just coming on Monday morning, thinking that, you know, for Monday you're going to do that. It's
and yeah, that you're like 2 or 3 hours of your day is locked out doing copy and pasting.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
And of course, there's that one person or those two persons every week that just forgot to do their timesheets or did something wrong, and you have to follow up with them. And it's not.
Yeah. Now you say that now like that, Andre, it sounds like an absolute drag. Anyone that does this job, I feel sorry for you right now.
Absolutely.
Because it's Monday morning right now.
Yes, you can't be excited about that. So this bot basically does exactly that thing. You know, on Monday morning, just you know, opens all 50 Excel spreadsheets, copy paste that information to that software, and comes up with errors in case, you know, 2 or 3 people didn't fill in their timesheets, and then emails those persons with, "Hello, you have forgot to do your timesheet on that day. Please do it." So now Joanne is just, you know, receiving those emails, and now she has more time to do other things, and she has plenty of things to do. So that actually helped her. So I try to call her the happiness bot, the happy bot.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and when I'm selling this bot, so I never go for let's say the money bot, which I just described earlier, that saves time, right? This bot actually saves time as well, but it actually creates happiness. So I'm trying to find things that people absolutely hate in their day-to-day lives. And there's so many of those things. And I'm trying to automate those little things. And the next step, and this is the next logical step, you're thinking, oh, that bot really helped me. And I usually give those bots names like Sarah bot or Andre bot or whatever. Or we had a guy called Leonard and we called it Len bot.
Len, yeah, I love it.
So he has a Len bot and he's going to have the second one now. And when you get those happiness bot that makes you happy, makes you more fulfilled in your day-to-day role and gives you that, you know, 5% more capacity or 10% more capacity to take on new tasks, you see that people usually step up. Spend more time with the customer, bring more business in, do some projects which were always on the back burner.
It's funny, I think, because I think actually with a bot and the way introducing it into the business as a company, you know, you're going to have employees that are going to be concerned about that. And then the employees that are going to be really relishing in that and really excited about that. And the ones that maybe aren't that excited are the fact that they ultimately, their job is just doing these tasks and they're going to maybe have a block about what it is that they can do, you know, to fill that time. So for instance, if you were taking those menial sort of tasks away from me, I reckon, in my view, I think that you've probably got more opportunity to start looking at data, reporting on the data, seeing how quickly. So maybe flipping outside some of your tasks, which are that sort of copy and pasting. And once the bot does that, you can then maybe understand the data a bit more, understand what you're doing, maybe market yourself a little bit more, maybe have more moments. So although if you're an employee that's thinking a bot may ruin your life or ruin your job, actually, you know, I don't think that will be the case. I think that it will give you a bigger opportunity to understand your audience better. So ultimately your audience being your colleagues, you know, your customers and things like that, and understanding that better in order to be able to meet their needs quicker as we keep moving forward. And then you've got the employees that are absolutely pumped up for this bot arriving and can't wait to explore.
Embrace
other parts.
Robot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that they have given names, and because actually what it sounds like, Andre, is that you're really understanding a business need and you're really understanding the humans behind that. It's not about you walking in and saying, look, I'm going to chuck this automated bot in called Leonard and he's going to sort all your problems out. Right? It doesn't sound like that's happening. What it does sound like is saying, hey, by the way, I'd like to introduce you to you, Leonard, who can help you and work alongside your business and make all of these things a little bit easier for you so you can continue to do great things as a business. And that's what it says to me. I'm hoping that's right.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. And the thing is, a lot of people are fearing about, you know, the bots will come and take over my tasks. But realistically, the bot doesn't take over tasks, right? It begins to automate part of the processes, and it's not like you just turn it on and just works. It's a iterative process. You know, the first version of the bot can maybe do 50% of one process, but guess what? Nobody's doing just one thing. So you're chucking away at the trivial things, so you can focus on what's really, really important.
It's like someone saying, you know, I'm an accountant. You know, you don't just, you know, there's so many parts to your role, and there's so many tasks and processes that you do and clicks that you do every single day. And if one part of that clicking or moving or, you know, is automated, then that's brilliant. You know, that's fantastic. And it's maybe just looking at your role and your tasks and your processes, just pulling it, stretching it out a little bit, seeing exactly what those steps are and seeing where a bot can be implemented into the business. But you are getting me very excited about talking about bots. And I'm probably one of those I'm a bit of a closet geek, Andre. I do like my tech and bots. I'd like to say I'm technical, but I'm probably not. I just like learning about it more than anything, if I'm honest. And I just love other people's passion about it. And actually, the way people innovate so freely within technology just illuminates me on a daily basis. It really does. So just thinking about the bots, and then you're saying we can just go and build one, or you can go and buy one, and things like that. So I would just like to take a few moments just to talk about bots, only just sort of to fulfill my need, really. So what sort of type of bots are out there? And is it possible to kind of build your own bot, for instance?
Absolutely. First of all, when people ask me this question, I tell them, you know what, go on UiPath, register for free with the Academy. They have something called the UiPath Academy, and start doing the first awareness course, which I think it's 1 hour. So it's really a 1 hour investment. And you have an optional course of another hour, which actually lets you download the bot and do something with it. And it kind of guides you. So you invest 2 hours of your life, and you instantly know if you like it or not, and that's all the investment, right? It's just 2 hours of your life.
So just slow down a little bit on that. So let me write that down. So you've got where do we go to learn about making bots?
I've just written it for you. So the UiPath has something called the Academy.
Okay.
And actually, this is one of the reasons why UiPath is the leader right now. It's because back in the day when they set up the strategy, they said, we're going to make all the trainings available for free, and we're going to target students and universities. So when you're doing your university, or even, you know, before that, you're going to have access to a free service. You're going to learn to code bots in the UI pathway. So when you're going to the workforce, guess what? You're going to start introducing UiPath over other products. So I think that's why they have such a big adoption rate. And I think they have the biggest adoption rate in the industry because they thought about this before. So you want to build your bot, go on UiPath Academy, register with a free account, start doing some of their awareness courses, and they have their packs, and you get the badge.
Oh, I love it. Do you know what I'm thinking of, Andre? I've got an 11-year-old. She's actually going to be 12 soon. And I love these kind of technology snippets that are available to everybody, you know, to sort of learn and understand. Because, you know, you might not go on there and go, right, I'm going to start building my own bots. But what it does, it gives you an opportunity just to understand the tech a little bit more. And then once you've had that you've completed that, then you have a little bit more of an appreciation, then you have an understanding, and then it just continually moves forward and on that journey. And sounds brilliant.
You know what's amazing? So for example, if you're going to code something in the old fashioned way, you need to learn a programming language, and that's quite technical, and that has a high barrier to entry, right? But I think robotics actually flipped that around. And when you build a bot, you're not building something from scratch. You don't have a blank screen and you have to write code. You have something like a Lego, where you have a lot of pre-built pieces, and you're just connecting them. And then you're telling them, bot, open my Excel here. And you're just dragging and drop, and you're just pointing toward the Excel. And take that information and move it there and log into that system and then click there. And you're just showing the bot, you're teaching about how to do one of your tasks, and then the bot runs it. As a small anecdotal thing to prove to some of my colleagues about this bot, somebody told me, you know what, I absolutely love Formula One. Can I get all my updates each morning?
Oh, I love it. So really?
Yeah, of course. So I built a bot. I really built it with him next to me for, I know it took 5 minutes, maybe 10.
Wow. I love it.
And just goes on a few websites like the BBC, then clicks on Formula, then Sports and Formula One and a few other websites. Prints the page, puts it in email and sends it to that guy every morning at 7:30. You know, that's what the bot does.
God, it's a no-brainer. It's a no. If you're a large company and you haven't looked into introducing bots into your kind of everyday function within, you know, for employees, etc., to really sort of colonize those sort of very menial tasks, put them in an area, let them do the stuff, and all you need as a company is to be able to release that data and understand how to do things better continually rather than taking hours and hours. I mean, it may not sound that, you know, half an hour here, an hour here that you're being saved, but adding it up over a month, you could have like 2 or 3 days or potentially more per employee that you could be saving. I think it's an incredible way forward for a company. As we sort of wrap this up now, which is sad for me because I could talk and listen, actually. I really love listening to you and I'm certainly going to look more into this. I'm going to give it a go at building my own bot. I'm going to give it a go and I'm going to let you know how I get on, which is hopefully exciting for you to hear, maybe. I don't know. But what I normally do with my podcast, especially with such gurus such as yourself, Andre, is that I ask my guests to sort of put across 3 points, the best way to do it. If you're a company, for instance, looking at RPA or looking at adopting it, or an employee that loves bots and wants to talk about, you know, bots to their company or their CEO and try and introduce it, then what sort of 3 takeaway points would you give listeners to sort of be able to approach that part for the business?
I think if you're a company, right, you know, don't be afraid of it. Let people experiment with this and absolutely solve a practical problem. If you're going to run a pilot on a practical issue that you have, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to work 100% of the time. It doesn't have to be the gold-plated solution. But if it just works, then expand on it and build your capacity and go forward. So yes, take risks, empower people and solve their issues. Do not think of the bottom line at the beginning. That will come later.
It's funny, I was funny because I was just, sorry, as you were thinking, I was thinking to myself, years ago, well, Steve Jobs, for instance, I think once turned around and said, you know, that market research, going out and doing market research before you do anything is just, you know, there's no point in doing that because you're looking at innovating, you're looking moving forward, and you're trying to get people to buy something that they don't know that they need yet. And so that's one thing. Then the other thing is once it's implemented in your business, you're doing active market research minute after second after second after second, you know, as the day's going, as your bots are all working for you and you only pay them once and they do these tiny little tasks and they provide so much information for you. Yeah. So I think that as a company, you look at exactly what that is and how it can benefit you as a...
And a lot of the times you've inadvertently mentioned data and say you have so much data, you can do so many things with it, you can report it. What's cool about a bot and the human... don't have this inherent capacity is that they can log anything that they do, which means they can provide you more data. Of course, you don't want more data for data's sake. You want the critical piece of data that, you know, a human wouldn't be able to give you consistently. So you get that massively added benefit of, oh, actually now I have more data. I know how much a process will take if I do it this way. I know how much a process takes if I do it in Jersey or if I do it in New York or in London. And then you can compare and you can understand, you know, what's the reason behind that. So you can, you have that new amount of information that you never would have had or that you'd have had to invest a lot to get there. So it's one of those things.
And the information that you receive is kind of like 100% trustworthy because there isn't any human error, is there, really?
Absolutely. Complete, accurate, all the time. You don't have to fix a process. You don't have to collect that in an active way.
It's not emotional, is it? It's not an emotional bot. Leonard doesn't get concerned if he's had an argument with his wife.
Well, probably not. I would imagine he won't. Yes, they're very well behaved. And they do work 24/7, which is great. Only if you have enough tasks. What I tend to find is that when you buy a bot license, people usually use them for, you know, 5% or 10% of their capacity, because, you know, the bot runs a task and then they just stay there waiting for the next task. So it's actually getting the most out of your bots these days, which is great. So I've told you the three things that you should do if you're a corporate.
Relay them again in short, in summary.
You know, take the plunge. Don't be afraid to take risks. Experiment with something and actually solve a practical, issue or task or a business need in your pilot. But if you're a person, right? If you're not a corporate necessarily, and you want to learn about this, you know, don't talk about this. Don't do a lot of research. Just go on UiPath Academy, register for a free account, do that 1 or 2 hours awareness course. And if you like it, go forward. If not, there are other tools out there, right?
Can anyone do this, Andre? Is it not? Absolutely. I mean, what if someone's sitting there thinking, oh, I'm just not technical at all? Is it easy?
Yeah, let me tell you something. I had a project with a telecom company in Singapore, right? Which is very, very traditional and old fashioned. And we had a lady there which worked in that telecom in her entire life, you know, as a clerk in a way. She just close to retirement. I mean, she was 60 plus, never coded in her entire life. So we deployed, of course, we deployed some bots, and then we went in that hyper automation phase where people are encouraged to play around with their own little bots, and the company made that available for them. Literally within a week, she automated something, I think, that goes on whatever platform and downloads some bank statements for them.
Oh, right. Wow.
And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
She must have felt really proud of herself, if I'm honest, to do something like that.
Absolutely. And you know, the company, when they tried to win more hearts and minds and to market this internally, they've used her as an example. Look, if she can do it, anybody can do it. She had no formal training in coding. She's been doing this just one task. She wasn't exposed to, let's say, the digital revolution, and it worked.
And do you know what? Do you know what? This kind of ends us really, really nicely on our whole conversation. So you started talking about bots and saying how happy they leave you. And actually, what a great happy story that, in fact, they do leave you happy, because they're not taking anything away from you. They're not there trying to steal your job or everything away. They actually make your life better and easier, more productive. And that's quite an exciting thought. And I like the sound of that.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. I think that's doing bots the right way.
Yeah. Oh, God, absolutely. Well, I've really enjoyed our conversation, Andre. I'm really pleased that you come along, and hopefully you've enjoyed your chatting about what you love this morning with me. Wonderful. If anybody wants to reach out to Andre, you can... I will put all of his details on the podcast notes, and you can just follow him on LinkedIn. I'm sure, without a doubt, he will be more than happy to talk bot with you.
Absolutely.
Is that true, Andre?
Absolutely. I absolutely love it. This is one of my favorite topics. If you're in Jersey, you know, we can go for a coffee, have this discussion. If you're somewhere else, we can have a video call. I absolutely love that.
Oh, well, I think
it's super exciting. So
yeah, and I would really recommend that with anyone. Andre, I've spoken to him a couple of times. We've had some really great conversations, and he's one of those individuals that really knows his stuff and wants to share it. He wants other people to learn and understand the technology and how it's moving quite quickly, especially in terms of automation. And if someone's that passionate about it, you know, it just fills you up. You want to learn more, and that's how we as human beings want to engage. So although bots are there taking over and doing lots of stuff, we still as human beings need that engagement, don't we, Andre?
Absolutely. And I think the right way to look at this is that they empower you, that they give you more time to do the things that you love. Right.
Oh.
That's how you look at it. If you're seeing this as a threat, you're not going to win. You know, innovation was always there. You've mentioned accountants, a few minutes earlier. The thing is, think about before computers, before spreadsheets, when the calculator, you know, the hand calculator was introduced. If you're an accountant, you say, oh my God, what am I going to do all day long? Because, you know, I can add, you know, this physical ledger in an hour rather than a few weeks, what I'm going to do the rest of my time? Well, guess what? There are more accountants now, and they're doing much more interesting things. And now, you know, being an accountant is actually one of the pathway to become a CEO, which was never the case, you know, back in the day before you had all of this technology enabling you. So look at this as an enabler. Look at it as a, you know, a rocket ship towards the other things that you absolutely love to do.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And enablement and empowerment, those two E's, really, really important two words that can sort of encompass you into really reaching your goals in terms of, you know, yourself. Remember, you know, everyone can do tasks, they can do those things, but actually doing what you love, as well as having your mind open to doing more creative stuff, which is brilliant. I think it's all about being open to things that can help you. It's very easy to see things as obstacles and see things as negative. And generally people do that because they don't understand something. So educate yourself with regards to what's coming out. Cybersecurity and RPA, very, very hot on the market at the moment. And if you don't know anything about it, one, go and chase Andre down on LinkedIn. And or definitely have a little look. And like I said, you know, what he mentioned before about UiPath, go on there, the Academy, 2 hours out of your life, see if you like it. And I'm sure if you did end up having a conversation or doing something similar to that, then I have no hesitation that he'll love to hear how you got on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lovely. Well, I better let you get on now, Andre. It's been, again, truly wonderful to speak to you. And I really do hope we do this again. And I will let you know how I get on about building my bots. I'm so excited.
Looking forward to hearing that. Absolutely. Good luck with that. I'm sure it will go well. And yeah, reach out to me. I'm always happy to help.
Oh, wonderful. Lovely. All right, then, Andre, I will let you go and enjoy your week.
Have a great week.
Lovely. If you're listening to this, that means you listened to the whole podcast episode. Thanks very much. Now, if you want to get in touch with Andre, please do follow him or message him directly on LinkedIn. You can find him under Andre Voinescu. That's AndreVoinescu. Also, he spoke about training and learning how to build your own bot. Don't forget to go over to UiPath and take advantage of what they've got on offer. Andre said it's just a couple of hours and it gives you a good understanding of if you've got the skills to build bots for yourself. Equally, if you're a company and you're interested in knowing more about RPA, honestly, Andre's up for this chat. So if you want to speak to him, message him on LinkedIn, or if you're in Jersey, give him a shout. He's more than happy to meet up for a coffee. I know. I'll be checking in with him soon once I've done my 2 hours with UiPath. If you like what you heard, please remember to follow and share.